gentlemen, may I direct your attention to something quite extraordinary?
Chris, the Herons are back. And we got messy.
What's going on? What? Where is the information?
I guess we're getting ready for a sister kissing fiesta.
I felt like we were playing a 2-8. It was just a 2-8.
Let me tell you, Danny is about to get destroyed in the chat. So you
are we kissing sisters, Chris?
And maybe stepsisters, but not regular sisters. I've done a little bit of research on him. When it comes to FIFA, this guy's 68.
We're going to have the greatest player of all time on the team. If there's a time to believe, it's now.
It looks like a heron shat all over it. So you guys are literally getting excited for a rank 65 player on FIFA 23. We got some pretty good FIFA cards on our squad now, all right?
You gotta understand, Kevincho. This is how we scout our players here on the show.
Just look at FIFA cards.
No question about it. I am ready to get hurt again.
Chris, where the hell are you at?
I'm not gonna do it yet. I'm gonna keep it black for
all right,
now.
All right. Let me bring it back. Chris, the Herons are back. Welcome everybody to episode number 156 of the Battered Herons podcast. I am your host, Daniel Granada, and alongside me, as always, is Mr. KBD. How are you doing, sir?
Well, as you can tell, it's not a white screen anymore, it's a black screen. So Vice City Lucas is asking me where the hell I'm at. I'm still here. I'm just keeping it black for now. But you know what? I guess I'll do the reveal because now Soccer Daddy thinks I'm here supporting Black Lives Matter. Look, all lives matter, Black Lives Matter. But this is just about the background behind me. So I haven't, you know what? I'll just do it right now. It's game time, right? Boom. There it is. You guys happy now? Are you guys happy?
That
there's
the
finally decorations.
Reveal.
This was the grand reveal. This is better than the white background. This isn't good enough.
You know, is that a green screen?
No, this is not a green screen. This I literally taped it at the corners.
It looks like a green screen. Wow.
It's temporary.
It looks better than the white background for sure.
Listen, Lucas, I'm not letting you down. They're right here, guys. It's right here.
That $4.99 super chat that Lucas sent us the other day really, really helped out.
Yes.
All right. So we are here to preview a DC United coming this weekend. But before we do, a little bit of housekeeping to do. Season ticket holders received an email today, which started making the rounds on Twitter. And it was basically letting all the season ticket holders know that tomorrow, I believe it was at 1 p.m., there's going to be a pre-sale. Like the last Champions Cup game where they gave a pre-sale for the season ticket holders, but it isn't necessarily first right of refusal, right? You do not get to purchase your own tickets like we've been asking for, and they promised us. It is just, here's you get first dibs at some of the tickets because they don't even release everything. Like, it's not here. You have dibs at everything. It's just at the certain amount of tickets that we decide to release tomorrow, you get first dibs at those. So, what did you think about that, Chris?
Well, the worst part is, and look, you and I have been through the struggle of getting tickets for some of these games where, like, I mean, these things are supposedly going to run fast. And to our beloved season ticket holders, right? We've looked for these tickets.
Correction, not beloved. They very specifically said valued. We are valued season members.
So the issue is that we've gone through the struggle, and I don't know if you remember, but the last time that we did this, the only seats that were available were like section, like it was basically like rows 10 and up. So you couldn't even get lower than row 10.
Correct.
So like, you're not even going to give me like a premium seat availability. You're just going to give me something past row 10. And then the worst part is I don't know if you remember, guys, but we went back later on. And on the release later in the afternoon or the next day, they unleashed a bunch of 1 through 10 tickets.
No, it wasn't 1 through, it was like 4 through 10. And
yeah,
I don't know how they do it. It's really ridiculous. Everybody just wants first right of refusal. And then I was going back and forth with Mike Longin from the Inter Miami show. I believe they go on tonight at 10 o'clock if you want to check them out. And I was going back and forth with him because he complains, which is great. I complain also.
Yes.
But Mike, you end up going to the games. And he tells me he enjoys going to the games and that he doesn't believe that him not going is going to do anything. obviously. But I mean, it's one person, but maybe if we can get a couple people together, like maybe we can do something. But if everybody just gives in and ends up showing up and you buy the ticket anyway, then why would they stop doing it? Like, we're just giving it anyway.
If you guys are still going to go buy these tickets, then what is Inter Miami going to be doing for us?
If they want to go to the game, that's fine. I just don't want to hear them complain about it. If you're just gonna take it, then just take it and don't complain about it. Because you're complaining, but then paying for the ticket anyway, to me, it's hypocritical.
Well, the issue is that you have the masses, right? All the season ticket holders, they sort of look at the supporter groups like Vice City and Siege and all the other supporter groups, and they hope that they act for us, right? But then we had that issue where some of them got invited on the field. They were given some extra perks, whatever was supposedly given to them. And then all of a sudden they showed up. So now what representation do we have as a season ticket holder? Because at that point, then the supporter groups are sort of falling into the trap of the organizations. So it doesn't just take the supporter groups. It also takes everyone as a collective to be able to kind of gather people together and get things done. Vice City Lucas is mentioning, what is a walk out of 10 people not going to do? We need more than 10.
I agree. Sure. Yeah, I agree. But, and again, that's why we stopped talking about it on the show, because
don't get fired, Jason.
People are going to keep going on and buying them. So it's almost pointless, because if not everybody's going to do it, then it's pointless. But if you can get a solid amount of season ticket holders to not purchase it, because everybody's like, oh, but they're buying the tickets anyway. No. The resellers are buying them anyway. And then that's why you see the prices dropping as the game gets closer. But if you let the resellers buy it and then you stop buying off of the resellers, then they'll stop buying it and selling it for that expensive. Eventually, this will work. But I get it. Everybody wants to go to the game. I want to go to the game also. But I didn't go to Wednesday's game. I probably could have, but I chose not to, because I think it's crap what they're doing. I probably won't go to the next one either. But everybody's like, yeah, but I don't want to miss it. Oh, I get it. I don't blame you. Just stop complaining about it then.
Well, they didn't sell out. I don't care what they said in the stadium or anywhere. No. They didn't sell these tickets out.
Everybody's giving me a number of 18,000, and that stadium fits, what, 23 now?
Yeah, with the extra Legoland.
Yeah, and I don't think that there was 18, but maybe. I'm sure that they sold 18. I don't know if there was actually 18,000 people there. Anyway, so we just wanted to touch up on that. I'm sure we'll touch up on it more next week when we don't have a middle-of-the-week game. But we do have a game coming this weekend. We have DC United coming up. So we do have a special guest joining us from the RFK Refugees podcast. Mr. Ted Meyer is joining us all the way from Virginia. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Look, the bigger question here is, Ted, do you like my decorations? Yes or no?
It looked nice. They look nice. I think it would look better with maybe a DC United scarf or some other. That would make it look a little better.
Yeah.
All right. I get it. First question from me. Is Echeverri your greatest player of all time?
You know, everybody, I would say, I'm a huge Jaime Moreno stan, just due to the longevity that he had in his game. Also, the fact with Jaime, he came into the league, was a quick forward, scored goals, went to New York, came back, wasn't the same player, and basically changed his whole game style. He became much more of a second forward. He played into Aleko Escandarian and then Luciano Emilio during the golden years. So just the way he changed his game, I feel like, is something maybe that doesn't get told. Echeverri is still a great player, one of the greats, but
El Diablo.
I will continue to be a Jaime Moreno stan as far as him being the greatest DCU player. So
I hated Echeverri. I did back in the 90s. I couldn't stand the guy.
I bet you didn't. He would punk you guys on a regular basis. So
before we get into the game, this is the first time we have a DC United guest on. So because we never have, it's a question that we used to ask every time we had a new team on. Do you guys have any traditions that you guys have either before the game or during the game that maybe other people aren't aware of?
As far as traditions go, I mean, they've certainly gone under a change. I mean, back on the RFK days, we had the Lot 8 tailgates, which were legendary, and extremely sad that they're gone. That was, you know, a huge communal meeting spot. You know, there was always a march to the match, the bouncing stands. I feel like the team as a whole and their supporters, they're undergoing a lot of sort of trying to, even 5 years later, trying to figure out how to make the stadium work for the supporters. You actually won't hear the supporters much in this game. There's a protest going on over the team's trip to Saudi Arabia. So they're doing four games of silence. So you'll still hear cheers. You'll still hear that. But the organized support is there. As far as, you know, I guess the proverbial, even though some people have tried to kick it out and has been unsuccessful, but the tossing of the beer in celebration of a goal, you'll still see some of that. Yeah. As far as the food goes, pupusas are always a stand. But it's been, I will say, from a tradition standpoint, it's been, you know, it's been a little tough. There have been a lot of fans that have, you know, as ticket prices have gone up. I think the communal part of Lot 8 has kind of gone away. You know, I think it's chased away a lot of fans. So we're in kind of a process, I think, where we're trying to sort of rebuild and find some new traditions in the fan base.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just gonna ask the question, because considering that you mentioned the whole deal of what the organizer, you know, what the, I guess, the fan base is thinking in terms of where they're going to be traveling, it seems like, obviously, you know, DC, it's a very political sort of area, I guess, or I guess politically aware. What was sort of the backlash with the whole Taxi Funtas deal?
Oh,
yeah, that was, I mean, I think that is one of the situations. So obviously, you know, I would say late 2022. It was, I think Damian Lowe, I want to say, had heard him say a racial slur, accused him of it. There was an investigation. It basically came back as, you know, which is what happens with a lot of these investigations, unfortunately, is, you know, it's he said, you know, there's no audio. You can try to read lips, but even then getting a little bit. The straw that broke the camel's back was that there was a game against New England, didn't go well for DC. It was, you know, they lost 3-1, and another player on DC United's team, Nigel Roberta, there was a heated argument between Taxi Funtas and Nigel Roberta, and he left that conversation accusing Taxi of also using a racial slur. So it was kind of the okay, we don't have any evidence to let you go. We'll let you come back. But then once it's kind of with a teammate, that's it. So he was, you know, he was gone. We took a pause on our show, you know, in solidarity for the event. We didn't cover any of the League's Cup games. And basically we just, you know, we eventually the team, I think, sort of did a mutual agreement, termination of his contract. He's in Turkey now.
Yes.
All's well that ends as well as it could for that situation. I don't think he's played very much. I haven't checked in lately, but he hasn't been playing very much in the Turkish league. So it's kind of all fallen apart for him.
Yes.
On Saturday, when Inter Miami goes over to DC, how are the ticket prices looking? Is it a big circus right now? And I'm sure that the news that Messi is going to play isn't a positive one.
There's going to be a lot of upset fans. I think a lot of the hardcore, I think, are going to kind of try to stay away from this game because we know the mess that this is going to ensue. I think it's going to be probably still a packed stadium. I think there will still be tickets out there. I think ticket prices probably will drop. I think right now they're around $300, $200 for tickets. You know, it's a tough situation, I think, for the ownership or for the front office to try to figure out how best to do this. You've got a 20,000 seat stadium. There's incredible amounts of demand. I don't know if they've done a perfect job with it. I don't also ascribe to the idea that, you know, they should just make the tickets as cheap as possible, because that opens up to resellers. And, you know, that's a constant thing going on right now in American sports is resellers. $300. I see someone in the chat. That's been I think some of the going rate for the tickets. One of my friends, a season ticket holder, I'd message him, Messi was in place, like, oh darn, I put my ticket up too late. So yeah, so we'll see what the prices do if they level off. I don't know how quickly news will travel. I think there are going to be inevitably people that are going to be like, who are not, you know, don't keep up or watch Tata Martino's press conferences, that are going to hear that Messi is not going to be, that aren't going to hear Messi's going to be there, and then he's going to see injured. And I think I've seen some fans say, well, you know, the front office has a dude responsibility to let them know. And my response is, I mean, this wasn't a FIFA date. This, you know, there was, they don't have a FIFA game. I think Argentina plays until a week after this game. There would be every expectation that he would play. He's hurt. He's injured. And, you know, I think you got to take Tata Martino at his word that he's hurt. And, you know, this game against DC probably means a lot to some DC players and maybe some fans in the DMV, but the Miami's also got to manage a 35, 36-year-old Lionel Messi. Sure. And I understand the predicament they're in as well.
Look, the fact that he left the Champions Cup game 3 minutes into the second half tells me that he's not 100%. But we already figured that he might not play this game just because it's the fifth game in 14 days. So we figured, like, they're going to rest him eventually.
Yeah. I think Tata Martino was trying to maybe get ahead. I think they learned their lesson from the Hong Kong fiasco, which was, we need to get out, make sure we get out ahead of this and not let it fester. So
for sure.
And at the end of the day, I don't think that the fans are going to lose out too much, because you guys are still going to be able to see Busquets, Jordi Alba, and Luis Suarez. So, like, it's still going to be a pretty good show out, right? I mean, it just so happens that the greatest player of all time is not going to, you know, play against
just
you guys,
him.
So.
It's just messy.
Yeah, it's just messy. That's it, you know. It's messy.
I think you're going to have some upset. I think I already saw somebody on a Facebook page looking for tickets for their son because their son loves Messi. So I think maybe the younger ones might be a little bit more heartbroken than the adults. But
yes.
Yeah. More than likely. All right, good. Okay, Chris.
No. I mean, other than that, I don't know really what else to bring up at this point in terms of, like, you know, the matchup. What is it that you see in terms of the matchup coming up against Inter Miami? And, like, how do you guys usually you guys line up? So far?
Well, how have you guys looked so far this season?
You know, honestly, this year has been sort of a cleansing in the front office, coaching staff. You know, the team didn't fire the director of soccer operations, who wasn't really their GM. He was above the GM, supposedly, that was empty all last year. But they moved Dave Casper, who has long had the ill of DC fans, been around for almost 20 years. He's been there for a while. They didn't fire him. They kind of moved him. They did the whole, we're just going to, you know, nicely nudge you to the side. And Ally McKay is in as GM. They also have a new coach, Troy Lessain, who, you know, coached at New Mexico United, also was at the Red Bulls last year. And, you know, as much as maybe some of the fans have been upset with, you know, the ownership and the trip to Saudi Arabia, I think everybody is very much getting on board and getting on board very quickly with what Ally McKay and Troy Lessain have been doing. They really sort of, you know, they had several contracts they had to carry over. You know, any rebuilding project, sometimes you got players that are, for lack of a better word, dead weight. But they really cut almost everybody that was either up for an option or, you know, really didn't really have much use. They only held on to, you know, a few players that really had value to the team, one of which was used to trade. So, and the players they have brought in, I would say, you know, everyone that wasn't here in 2023, that's sort of a new addition, has improved this team, and past three games have looked really good. The team seems very bought in. Christian Benteke, especially, who's here for another year, who maybe, you know, he could very easily be like, well, I'm not part of this team's future, so I don't really care. Seems very bought into the team. Matthias Klick as well, the other DP here for another year, seems very bought in. His goal has been really to get buy-in. Troy is saying that is to get buy-in from the team, and it seems to be working. All except for one player, and maybe if we talk about weaknesses of the team, I'll get into one weakness because of that. I mean, it's been really sort of refreshing to see. Again, it's early days. We've been down this path before where we believe maybe we have something here, and then it kind of all crumbles apart. But so far, you know, I think Troy getting buy-in. I mean, Christian Benteke wasn't supposed to travel to Cincy and flew out on his own dime to be there for the team. So that type of stuff, I'm not sure was happening last year with Benteke. So it's extremely positive to see that that Lassane has kind of gotten this buy-in. The team seems to play a style that makes sense. They look good. You know, the style is the one generating chances. Even if the talent on the field maybe isn't quite there yet, they're still able to put together, you know, really good chances. You know, they had Christian Benteke out for two games, and they got two goals on the road.
What's the formation? He had a hat trick. His only game he played, right?
Yeah, first game. Yep.
Yeah. What's the formation and style that you guys play?
It's a 4-2-3-1. It's definitely a pressing style.
Oh yuck! No.
Yeah, this team is gonna. They play very. I wouldn't call it like a full Red Bull press where they're just, you know, throwing bodies at the wall. It's definitely more. They'll kind of like slip into sort of a half press. The real engine, the real middle part of the field is where they want to kind of win the ball. They want to win the ball. They have two players in there, Matthias Klick and Matty Petzola, their Finnish defensive midfielder, who's stepped in and been excellent. He's a young designated player they signed from Finland and only really played in Finland. He really has stepped into that role. And we have a player who's been a long time there, Russell Knaus, who I think so far Maddie's the starter now, and I don't think there's any question about that at this point. But they want to win that ball in the middle of the field. They want to force quick turnovers, and then they want to try to get it to their, you know, they have a couple sort of inverted wingers in Stroud and mostly Ted Kudu-Pietro, but Ted Kudu-Pietro looks like he's hurt, so we might see Jackson Hopkins or even Christian Fletcher, who's a very exciting young talent that this team has. Get it to those guys and you know, try to also find Benteke as well. They're going to use Benteke's aerial prowess. When they have the ball in their defensive third, they're going to look direct and they're going to look to play Benteke. So a lot of different ways this team has learned to play and, you know, having, I'd say, unfortunately for you guys, Benteke looks like he's healthy. He's fit. He's ready to go. He is a monster. Third goal, if you have a chance to go watch it, he out jumps a keeper who has the ability to use his hands. So he is absolutely one of the biggest aerial threats in this league. And he looks very good, very comfortable. So, you know, he's had a couple games rest due to an injury. So I'm expecting a big game from him, I think, in this game.
And not to get ahead too far ahead, but our weakness is set pieces and defending the headers. So
absolutely. So Benteke is going to eat if that's the case. Now, I wanted to bring up the question by Lucas, because, and I was actually just kind of thinking about it before Lucas even brought it up, but he asked a question for Ted. How does he like McVay? What's your opinion of Chris McVay, and what's the fan base's opinion, I guess, of McVay?
Honestly, McVay is another player brought in. Thank you all for the cheap player and low salary cap, because he's been excellent. I think he and Bartlett. Really quickly, Lucas Bartlett, who we got again from St. Louis as well, have really developed a tandem. And that's another part of how this team works. The defenders will push very high up and they will, you know, try to also press the ball in the middle, try to win it, you know, sort of if the ball gets past the midfield, they're going to try to win it in that kind of defensive third and then sort of transition that to sort of quick transition. So overall, the defenders have been excellent. You know, we have a longtime player, Steve Mirrbaum, who's been hurt. I think it's very, very unlikely that he steps back into the field with how good this team has looked defensively. He had McVay especially played really, really well against Cincinnati. So he's been excellent.
Let me tell you, that hurts, Danny, because our fan base at some point, they had some faith in McVay, but then when we had Kamal Miller,
I gave up on him.
Well, you gave up on him, yeah. But a lot of the fan base was like, hey, McVay's good for a solid backup. And now he's at DC United kind of flourishing.
At the end of every season, we have a little award show where we, you know, MVP, whatever. Biggest disappointment for you was Chris McVay. I expected so much from him last year. And to me, he disappointed me more than any other player last year.
But you know that he was also mislotted at the left back position for some time also.
That's fine, and that's where he looked decent at left back. When he moved to center back last year, he lost his job a month in.
Yeah, I could see that. Jason L saying that he would have kept McVay over Saylor, but he likes both of them. So I guess speaking of players, right, since we're already talking about McVay, who do you think is probably the player that we have to watch out for in terms of, you know,
that
maybe a sleeper guy?
Yeah, a sleeper. Oh, okay.
Yeah, sleeper guy. I think a sleeper guy is Aaron Herrera. And I don't know if you necessarily call him a sleeper guy, but he has been another guy. We got him from Montreal, had kind of a down year, was excellent for Salt Lake. He has been fantastic cutting into the inline, you know, playing that sort of transition. You know, we definitely play a little bit narrow, but we kind of use our wingbacks as depth, both Pedro Santos and Herrera, to sort of give us width. You know, having Herrera who can, and he can serve a ball in, and having Herrera being able to serve a ball to Benteke is an extremely dangerous thing. It's almost an easy combination for the DC to get a quick goal off a cross. So he's been fantastic. Probably, I would say, you know, short of Benteke, who again has been out for two games, he's been DC's best player. Just been fantastic at sort of that right wing back spot, and helps DC do a lot of the things they can do. You know, allows them to be narrow while also getting width from their wing backs.
Nice. Okay. So, I mean, you spoke a little bit about, I guess, the, you know, the players that we should watch out for. And then obviously we went over some tactical stuff, right? What do you think are sort of the strengths and weaknesses that we can point out to of DC United?
I think I already talked about when Benteke is there, the team is a very different, they're a very different team. They will, you know, any sort of ball that goes up to Benteke, he's going to win it down. And he's going to use some very excellent elite hold up play. He's going to find either his attackers, either Jared Stroud. This case, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say probably Jackson Hopkins. You know, he can also hit a pass as well. So as far as strengths go, he's out there, then they're really good. You know, if he is taken out of the game or isn't there, it gets a little bit, you know, more hairy as to what the strengths are. What his strengths are, but the team definitely, I think, has done an excellent job sort of in the middle field. And I would say Matthias Klick, another guy who's been excellent as far as in that sort of eight spot. He'll win the ball in midfield. He'll be able to push it forward. He can hit a shot, and he can also get across. I think he leads the team in shot creating actions right now well. Second most to actually to Pedro Santos. And we'll get into the weaknesses. Pedro Santos, excellent in the attack. And, you know, there's been talk. I find it interesting you guys talk about McVay out at left back because of Santos. A lot of people have been talking about that with McVay, is to play him out at left back. The problem is that Santos brings you so much offensively.
Yeah, but McVay isn't going to give you that.
Yeah. But his big weakness is defensively. And he's gotten burned.
Get the other way around.
Yeah, I would say just about most goals that you look at come from that left side. So, you know, if I'm Tata Martino, I'm taking Julian Gressel and I'm playing him out on the right side and I'm hammering in at Pedro Santos and trying to break them down there. So that's where DC can be the most weak is on that left side.
Well, and it's a weird sort of conundrum there because McVay's at left back, at least from what I remember, Danny, and correct me if I'm wrong, he was okay.
He was solid defensively.
He wasn't bad. He wasn't great, but defensively he did well. And at that time we didn't have our left back and right back pushing up. That's the difference.
But the thing with McVay that year, because it was for a full season, is that we knew he was a natural center back, but they used him out of necessity at left back. So because he did a serviceable job, you thought, oh, this kid's got something because he's playing out of position, but he's playing it pretty well. So when he goes to his natural position, he should excel. And that's what everybody expected. So unfortunately, when he finally went back to center back, he wasn't as good as we thought. And he lost his job because he wasn't going to play over Negri and obviously not over Jordi Alba now. So I did want to ask you a couple questions. First, you guys don't hold possession very much, I'm assuming. Only because I was looking at, as far as pass accuracy goes, you guys are dead last. So I'm assuming you guys turn the ball over.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, we're definitely, I don't think we're the most pass accurate team in the league.
Right.
We definitely rely on, you know, it's maybe a little difficult to, we've had one game, I guess, where we've had Benteke. So, you know, one of our strongest lineups. Right. In that game, I guarantee you take that game, you'll see, you know, probably a pretty high passing accuracy. And, you know, a lot of them really being able to put the pressure on. Benteke went down. We played two games on the road. One of which was, you know, one of which, again, I would say Cincy as well, maybe kind of killed a lot of stats, including our XG and a lot of other things because the team
and Portland.
Yeah, really couldn't break them down. Portland, they actually played. I thought they played pretty well. They outplayed them for most of the game. And then, you know, Portland certainly let them back into the game. I will say this team has shown an ability to be comfortable on the ball and, you know, push the possession stats a little bit. I think I'm pretty sure they had more possession in the game against New England and Portland. Portland just wanted to sit back a lot of the time, and they wanted to sort of hit them on the counter anyway.
That's Neville ball right there. We know. We've witnessed it. Phil Neville ball at its finest.
That's Ill Phil, baby. You got to give him the roses, Danny. Get out of here. Get out.
No roses. But, yeah, so when we've been at our best is when our midfield basically wins the battle of the midfield. And so saying that maybe you guys – and, again, these are just – 3 games, right? So it's a small sample size. So obviously it could be skewed. So I'm just going based off of the small sample size. But if you guys aren't able to beat us in the midfield, we do have a good chance because I feel like when we win the midfield, we are
we're pretty dominant.
We're pretty dominant. Now where we suffer is when teams press us because when we get pressed, our back line doesn't do a good job of handling the press, and that's where I would worry a bit. But before we get into our worries, let's say you are a betting man. I don't know if it's legal to bet in Virginia, but let's say hypothetically it is, even if it's not. And you are going to put money on Inter Miami. And you're going to go walk over to Tata Martino. You're going to whisper in his ear, this is how you beat DC United. What are you telling him in his ear?
Honestly, I would say if you catch DC on the break, because they will push up, they will press. We will try to win the ball. As soon as you win the ball back, if you go quick enough, you can catch them, especially if you get it wide, because they're going to push their fullbacks up. They're going to push Herrera up, and they're going to push Santos up. What's that?
Sounds like us. That's the same. We
So, I mean, you're going to have space behind him. They're going to push, probably keep McVay and Bartlett back, but they're going to have to kind of cover, and you're going to be able to get, if you can hone yourself in to where you can hit those wide areas kind of behind Santos and Herrera, you can cause a lot of damage to this team for sure.
I think this is a Robert Taylor game, Chris.
Yes, it is. And it's a Jordi Alba game too. I mean, that sounds like a Jordi Alba counter every time.
Yeah.
Shout out to Joe Kerr checking in from Guatemala City, Guatemala.
All right. So go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry. I cut you off with your questions.
No, I mean, that's basically the gist of it, right? I wanted to know sort of like what would be the weakness, and it seems like this is just going to be a counterfest. I mean,
Could very well be.
That's going to be a hell of an exciting game. And I guess since we're getting excited about the game, I guess we could just get right to it, Danny. We could just be able to get right to the predictions. So should we let our guest make the prediction here first, or should we just jump right in?
Ted, it's up to you. You want to go first?
I can go first, sure. I've been predicting losses. I've been predicting draws. I think I've predicted the losses all year because I just thought the beginning of the season was too tough. Also missing Benteke definitely was playing a role, and the team has beat my expectation almost every time. So maybe I'm going to drink the Kool-Aid, and I'm going to say we get a 2-1 victory, and I think we get the game-winning goal from Benteke. So, especially now Messi's out, I'm feeling maybe a little more confident about that prediction.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel like that's how Nashville felt in the second half yesterday. Once Messi went out, I think they really you saw a surge of energy come from that team all of a sudden, because when Messi's out, you just feel like, I thought I could win before, but now I know I can win. But, you know, we ended up scoring again. But definitely, I can see why that would give the team some newfound energy and hope. Chris, would you like to go next?
Sure. I'll just go ahead and exaggerate off the get, and then you can sort of bring us right back down to earth, Danny.
All right.
I think even with Messi out, I think that we are going to do pretty well, especially if Luis Suarez, Sergio Busquets, and Jordi Alba play. And Sergio Busquets, I wouldn't be too surprised if he doesn't play the whole game.
I don't think Busquets or Suarez start the game. They might end up coming in. I think we're going to see a very similar lineup to what we saw against Montreal. I think we'll see Robert Taylor and Campana up top. I think we'll see Gressel and Redondo with Gomez in the middle. It does look like a screen, green screen. I don't know. Your camera, the aperture on your cameras is top notch. Because
this is not a green screen. This is not a green screen. That thing just waved in the air, okay? For those of you on audio, my flag just waved in the air. By the way, guys, I do want to do a giveaway at some point. Maybe we should do that. I have one of these. No, two of these left. Two of these, which is the Rivalry Night flag. Mm-hmm. And then I also have three of these little Messi flags. So wow. We'll be doing, I guess, like
you know, those Messi flags are prime real estate on eBay, right? Because that was like his first game. Just putting it out there.
I mean, we'll see what's up. We'll talk about it. We'll cook in the background. So
he's not giving it away anymore, guys. Sorry.
No, it's nice to give it away. Why not? So this is why I think we're going to kill you guys. Let Taylor start this time, please. He needs to be a starter every match. Gel Rako is mentioning that. Yeah, maybe Danny, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit. I do think that we are going to win. I think that we're going to win 3-1. And I think that Robert Taylor is going to have another goal as well.
This is the lineup I expect to see on Saturday. Basically, well, you know what? We're going to see Gomez instead of Sunderland. But maybe we see Sunderland again. But I think we'll see Gomez because we have a full week off after that. So I think we'll see Gomez over Sunderland. Everything else will be basically the same. And because DC presses high, it worries me because our back line just can't beat that press. It hasn't proven that it could beat that press yet. This is going to be the first time we face that press with three in the back or five in the back, as they like to say. So it does worry me. But with that said, the fact that they play that high, I do think that Robert Taylor and Campana can beat that press and get a couple chances. Robert Taylor is deadly when he gets those opportunities. I'm going to call a 2-2 draw. I'm going to say it'll end in a 2-2 draw.
Okay. I'll accept that. I'm pretty sure you're willing to accept that, right, Ted? You'll take a tie?
He's taking two already this year.
Yeah, I think that 2-2 draw is going to depend on game state for me. If we're up 2-0 and then we let a 2-goal lead slip,
Miami does it.
Yeah, I feel 2-2 is going to depend on game state. If we start poor but then we battle back, you know, then I think the vibes are still good. So anyway, I think the team's ready for a win. I think the team will be up for it. They'll want to play. You guys are on a, you know, regardless of how much you played your starters, you're still on a, you know, have a lot of games on those legs. So I'm feeling pretty confident we can come out with the victory today, Saturday, to be honest.
Nice. Okay. So Florida man, you're asking if ISIS released me, but Peaches is answering the question for you. They just let me have two flags. So I'm still stuck in my jail cell, guys. Sorry.
All right. Terrible. So before we let you go, Ted, if you would mind to indulge Chris. There you go. Look at that. Y'all didn't ask him the questions yet. If you would indulge us with some silliness that Chris likes to ask at the end of every episode.
All right.
So we like to get to know people a little bit deeper than just balls and goal sticks, right? So should I do the meat question, Danny, or is that like fully retired? I think I asked you this already.
Don't even worry about it. It's retired.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to slap a sandwich on your face right here, Ted, and you have to choose how you cut your sandwiches. How do you typically cut your sandwiches? Do you cut them diagonally, or do you cut them from north to south?
I cut them north to south. So
yeah,
but why?
I don't know, man. Just it's how I've always done it. I can't give you an explanation for it.
What,
Danny?
I don't mind the crust. I don't mind the crust,
Danny.
It's the healthiest part of the bread, isn't it? Is the crust?
Yes. But you eat it regardless, whether you do diagonal or north and south.
Yeah, but you're cutting it diagonally to avoid eating it. That's why you're doing it, right?
No.
Yeah, I think that's why most people would do it.
No way.
Danny,
is that why?
You literally
I need to investigate this. That's not why people do it. People just do it because that's the normal way to do it.
Nah.
You literally get more sandwich on the cut from north to south. I don't care what anybody says.
This is why you failed math. Chris, this is why you failed math.
Listen, let's not go there, right? And we're going to go to the next question, which is, supercalifragilistic just eats it like a barbarian. So he just makes a sandwich and just eats it like a Adam Sandler character. So
he's a man on the grill.
Yes. Yes. Now I go grocery shopping, Ted. And when I go grocery shopping, I shop with the cart behind me and I pull the shopping cart. This is an image of me shopping at the grocery store.
Like a homeless person.
And so my question to you is, do you pull the cart when you go shopping or are you a pusher?
Ooh. Puller or pusher?
I guess I don't know. When I feel like I'm navigating, you ever navigate like a tight corner? I always feel like pulling it gives me, I almost feel like I've got a little more control on it. Now, if I'm trying to move quickly, then I push it. So it just depends. I switch between.
This is literally the best ever, Danny. You are terrible.
You are a first timer, Ted. Nobody's agreed with Chris two times in a row. Oh my God.
You're awful, Danny. You're awful. And now you can ask your serial question since you're such a weirdo.
No, it's not that serious of a question. Look,
it is a very serious question.
Do you eat cereal, Ted?
Not regularly. No, I do not eat cereal.
Hypothetically, you pour yourself a bowl of cereal, put some milk in it, I would assume. When you're done with the cereal, do you slurp it, the milk that's remaining, like an oyster? Or do you just either add a little more cereal or just dump it?
Oh, man. Maybe I'm a slurper. Maybe I want to just drink it. No, because
you're just another Chris is what you are. You're just another Chris. All right.
I don't see the point in adding. It's just I've already poured my cereal. I don't think why I need to add more.
But I dumped the milk. I don't want that sugary stuff.
Yeah.
But that's you're losing out on the good stuff, Danny. What are you doing?
What, you mean the extra sugar?
I mean, no, like when you're serving yourself a bowl of cereal and you finish your cereal, like you get cereally milk. Why are you going to dump that? There's tons of kids that don't have access to cereal, Danny.
Yeah, I agree, Brower Heron. I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
I want to answer. I also want to answer. Oh, yeah. Mr. Krabs' question. I actually have met Joe Biden. I'll save the story, but I have actually met Joe Biden. Not Obama, but I have met Joe when he was vice president.
There you go. Look at that. If
I could just jump in with a personal experience in Washington, D.C., I applied and went to go do a tour in the White House. Extremely disappointed. Well, through the state and all that stuff to do a little White House tour. I'm very pissed that I couldn't get into the White House. They just had this closed section for me. I'm trying to see presidents and stuff, and you blocked off the basement for me. I'm trying to get into the Oval Office. Is that too much to ask?
It is too much to ask. Are you crazy?
It probably is a little too much to ask.
Could you imagine if it was that easy to access the Oval Office?
I was looking down the hallway, and I see a little sliver of opening between two walls, and I'm looking at my wife, and I'm like, what if I just open that up and book it? You think I'll get caught quickly?
Do you have any idea how stupid that would be? You're not in a museum. You're in the White House.
You wouldn't be on this podcast if you had tried.
100%. 100%.
You would actually be doing it from a jail cell.
It wouldn't be a hypothetical one anymore. It would be a legit jail cell.
So I would avoid that at all cost.
Yes.
100%. Is Florida man right here, Ted? Do you want out? Is this fine? Miserable?
Look, it's not miserable. This is really fun, guys. If I look exhausted, I guess Wednesday and Tuesday I was refereeing soccer, and I think I'm kind of it's finally kind of catching up to me. I'm getting older, and it's a lot of running and other things too. So also working full time job, as you guys know probably from podcasts.
Yeah, I started a brand new one today myself, so I'm also exhausted. Yeah. There you go. All right. Well, Ted, we appreciate you taking the time to join us. If you could please just let everybody know where they could find you if you want to hear a little bit more from you or just about DC United.
Yeah, you check us out. RFK Refugees Podcast. We're at Twitter/X at RFK Refugees, RFKRefugees.com. It's sort of a three-man operation. We also covered Loudoun too. We have a podcast, Next in Line, where we covered Loudoun United as well. And we also try to cover the Washington Spirit. So we try to cover all things soccer DMV, or as much as we can. We're not too crazy to go do Maryland Bobcats, but We definitely try to cover the top professional teams in the area for sure. So definitely check us out if you have interested in that. We've got a show on Monday. We talk a lot more about DC and give respect. And so if you guys want to prepare a little bit, definitely check it out.
Yes.
We much phenomenal. Appreciate that. Chris, do you have any final words before we back out of here?
I still want to tell everybody, I don't think it's a far fetch, and I think that I have every single right as an American citizen to have more access to the White House.
Shut up.
Absolutely uncalled for. It is abysmal.
My How much did you pay for that tour?
It was free, I think.
Yeah, usually those are free. Those tours are, that's you have to sign up for it and get on a wait list, but it's
listen, Danny, it's my right.
Shut up.
To get into that Oval Office.
I don't even want to entertain this. I don't
get out of here.
Go back to the 1800s with Andrew Jackson, and then you get access to the White House. It's right. A history. If anyone knows, if anyone is the history buff, they'll know what I'm talking about.
All right. Well, if you are listening on audio, we appreciate you listening all the way to the end. Please leave us 5 stars, comment, review, all that other good stuff. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for watching all the way to the end. Please like, subscribe, share, tell your friends. And if you join us in the chat, as always, you guys are the best part of the show. We appreciate you joining in, spending time with us. And we'll be back on Saturday post-game to give our reaction to the game. And then on Monday again, I'm sure that's when we'll take a deep dive into this whole ticket fiasco. So just be out on the lookout for those next 2 episodes. And until the next one, have a good one.